Hello and welcome to Sunday Showcase. I am Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my pleasure once again to welcome Richard Manette, the artistic director of the Stratford Festival Series.
Good evening, Damiano.
Well, the last 3 weeks, Richard, on this year's Stratford season are upon us, the last 3 weeks of our ninth season, and the audiences are loving the series.
I'm very glad to hear this. And our own season here in Stratford is going well, and we send best wishes across the country to all of you who can't join us here in Stratford.
The Stratford Festival, however, can be heard from coast to coast to coast on CBC Radio 1 and 2, and these last 3 weeks are devoted to one of Shakespeare's most beloved plays, Romeo and Juliet.
No matter how many productions you do of this play, it still grabs your heart.
Always. How many productions have you been involved in?
Well...
You played Romeo, of course.
I played Romeo, I played Mercutio, I played Tybalt. So that would make three. And I've directed a production of Romeo and Juliet.
And it comes back to the festival every so often. Now, tonight's production was directed by Miles Potter.
That's correct.
Now, how do you, as the artistic director, try to bring something new to a play that so many people know so well?
Well, you see, every time you revisit a play by Shakespeare, either as an artist or as an audience member, you discover something new. If you see Romeo and Juliet when you're very young, it tells your story. If you see it when you're middle-aged, it tells the story that was your story. And if you see it when you're old, you just cry.
So did you weep?
I always weep at Romeo and Juliet. Because, you see, although it's a melodrama, really, the story, and the least interesting thing about Shakespeare are his stories, what raises it to another level are the words. You know, and when you hear Romeo say, "How silver sweet sound lovers' tongues by night," wouldn't you want to say that to somebody you loved?
While you're weeping, perhaps.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of comedy. It's the first act is very funny, and then it turns to tragedy.
And we're almost ready to listen to it. Let's take our seats now, ladies and gentlemen, for William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, directed by Miles Potter, for the 50th anniversary of the Stratford Festival of Canada.
Households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge break to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured, piteous overthrows doth with their death bury their parents' strife. The fearful passage of their death-marked love and the continuance of their parents' rage, which but their children's end naught could remove, is now the 2 hours' traffic of our stage, the which, if you with patient ears attend, what here shall miss, our toil shall strive to mend.
Gregory, on my word, we'll not carry coals.
No, for then we should be colliers.
I strike quickly, being moved.
But thou art not quickly moved to strike.
A dog of the house of Montague moves me.
To move is to stir, and to be valiant is to stand. Therefore, if thou art moved, thou runnest away.
A dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montague.
The quarrel is between our masters and us.
'Tis all one. I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads.
The heads of the maids.
Aye, the heads of the maids. Or their maiden heads, take in what sense thou wilt.
They must take it in sense that feeleth.
Me they shall feel I'm able to stand, and
'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh.
Draw thy tool. Here comes of the house of Montagues.
My naked weapon is out.
Put it away.
Oh, I will back thee.
How? Turn thy back and run.
Fear me not.
No, Mary, I fear thee.
Now let us take the law of our sides. Let them begin.
I will frown as I pass by, and let them take it as they list.
Nay, as they dare. I will bite my thumb at them, which is disgrace to them if they bear it.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
I do bite my thumb, sir.
Do you bite your thumb at us, sir?
Is the law of our side if I say aye?
No.
No, sir. I do not bite my thumb at you, sir, but I bite my thumb, sir.
Do you quarrel, sir?
Quarrel, sir. No, sir.
But if you do, sir, I am for you. I serve as good a man as you.
No better.
Well, sir.
Say better. Here comes one of my master's kinsmen.
Yes. Better, sir.
You lie.
Draw if you be men. Gregory, remember thy washing blow.
Hark! Fool! Put up your swords. You know not what you do.
Art thou drawn amongst these heartless hinds? Turn thee, Benvolio, and look upon thy death.
I do but keep the peace. Put up thy sword, or manage it to part these men with me.
What? Drawn and talk of peace? I hate the word, as I hate hell, all Montagues, and thee. Have at thee, coward.
Ho!
What call you for a sword?
My sword, I say. Montague is come and flourishes his blade in spite of me.
Thou villain, calculus.
Hold me, Lord. Let me go!
Thou shalt not stir one foot to seek a foe.
Rebellious subjects, enemies to peace, profaners of this neighbor's stained steel, will they not hear? But halt, you men, you beasts, on pain of torture, from those bloody hands, throw your mistempered weapons to the ground, and hear the sentence of your moved prince.
3 civil brawls, bred of an airy word by thee, O Capulet and Montague, have thrice disturbed the quiet of our streets. If ever you disturb our streets again, your lives shall pay the forfeit of the peace. For this time, all the rest depart away. You, Capulet, shall go along with me. And Montague, come you this afternoon to know our farther pleasure in this case. Once more, on pain of death, all men depart.
Who set this ancient quarrel new a broach? Speak, nephew, were you by when it began?
Here were the servants of your adversary and yours, close fighting ere I did approach. I drew to part them. In the instant came the fiery Tybalt with his sword prepared. While we were interchanging thrusts and blows, came more and more and fought on part and part. Till the prince came who parted either part.
Oh, where is Romeo? Saw you him today? Right glad I am he was not at this fray.
Madam, an hour before the worshipped sun peered forth the golden window to the east, a troubled mind drove me to walk abroad. Where underneath the grove of sycamore that westward rooted from the city side, so early walking did I see your son. Towards him I made, but he was ware of me and stole into the covert of the wood.
Many a morning have he there been seen, with tears augmenting the fresh morning's dew, adding to clouds more clouds with his deep sighs. But also soon as the all-cheering sun should in the farthest east begin to draw the shady curtains from Aurora's bed, away from light steals home my heavy son, and private in his chamber pens himself, shuts up his windows, locks fair daylight out, and makes himself an artificial night. black and portentous must this humor prove, unless good counsel may the cause remove.
My noble uncle, do you know the cause?
Could we but learn from whence his sorrows grow, we would as willingly give cure as know.
See where he comes. So please you step aside. I'll know his grievance or be much denied.
Come, madam. That's away.
Good morrow, cousin.
Is the day so young?
But new struck. Nine.
Ay, me, sad hours seem long. Was that my father that went hence so fast?
It was. What sadness lengthens Romeo's hours?
Not having that which having makes them short.
In love.
Out.
Of love.
Out of her favor where I am in love.
Alas, that love, so gentle in his view, should be so tyrannous and rough in proof.
Alas, that love, whose view is muffled still, should without eyes see pathways to his will. Where shall we dine?
Not...
I may. But Frey was here. Yet tell me not, for I have heard it all. Here's much to do with hate, but more with love. Why then, oh, brawling love, oh, loving hate, oh... Anything of nothing first create. Dost thou not laugh?
No, cuz, I rather weep.
Good heart at what?
At thy good heart's oppression.
Why, such is love's transgression. Love is a smoke made with the fume of sighs, being purged, a fire sparkling in lover's eyes, being vexed, a sea nourished with lover's tears. What is it else? A madness most discreet, a choking gall, and a preserving sweet. Farewell, my cuz.
Soft, I will go along, and if you leave me so, you do me wrong.
But I have lost myself. I am not here. This is not Romeo. He is some other where.
Tell me, in sadness, who is that you love?
In sadness, cousin, I do love a woman.
I aimed so near when I supposed you loved.
A right good markman, and she's fair I love.
A right fair mark, fair cuz, as soon as hit.
Well, in that hit, you miss. She'll not be hit with Cupid's arrow. She hath Diane's wit, and in strong proof of chastity, well armed. From love's weak, childish bow, she lives unharmed. She will not stay the siege of loving terms, nor bide the encounter of assailing eyes, nor ope her lap to saints seducing gold. Oh, she is rich in beauty, only poor. That when she dies, with beauty dies her store.
Then she hath sworn that she will still live chaste.
She hath. And in that sparing makes huge waste. She hath forsworn to love. And in that vow do I live dead that live to tell it now.
Be ruled by me. Forget to think of her.
Oh, teach me how I should forget to think.
By giving liberty unto thine eyes. Examine other beauties.
It's a way to call hers exquisite in question more. Show me a mistress that is passing fair. What doth her beauty serve but as a note where I may read who passed that passing fair? Farewell, thou canst not teach me to forget.
I'll pay that doctrine, or else die in debt.
But Montague is bound as well as I in penalty alike, and 'tis not hard, I think, for men so old as we to keep the peace.
Of honorable reckoning are you both, and pity 'tis you lived at odds so long. But now, my lord, what say you to my suit?
Not saying or what I have said before. My child is yet a stranger in the world. She hath not seen the change of 14 years. Let two more summers wither in their pride, or we may think her ripe enough to be a bride.
A younger than she are happy mother's maid.
And too soon marred are those so early made. Earth hath swallowed all my hopes but she. She's the hopeful lady of my earth. But woo her, gentle Paris, get her heart. My will to her consent is but a part. And she agreed within her scope of choice, lies my consent and fair according voice. This night I hold an old accustomed fest, whereto I have invited many a guest, such as I love, and you among the store. One more most welcome makes my number more. At my poor house, look to behold this night, earth-treading stars that make dark heaven light. Such comforts as do lusty young men feel when well-apparelled April on the heel of limping winter treads, even such delight. Among fresh female buds shall you this night inherit at my house. Hear all see, and like her most, whose merit most shall be. Come, go with me. Sarah.
Aye?
Search about through fair Verona. Find those persons out whose names are written here, and to them say, my house and welcome on their pleasure stay.
them out whose names are written here. I am sent to find those persons whose names are here writ, but can never find what names the writing person hath here writ. I must to the learned.
Tut, man!
One fire burns out another's burning.
In good time.
One pain is lessened by another's anguish. Take thou some new infection of thy eye, and the rank poison of the old will die.
Your plantain leaf is excellent for that.
For what, I pray thee?
For your broken shin.
Oh, why, Romeo? Art thou mad?
Not mad, but bound more than a madman is. Shut up in prison, kept without my food, whipped and tormented and...
Gooden, good fellow.
Gooden. I pray, sir, can you read?
Aye, mine own fortune in my misery.
Well, perhaps you have learned it without book. But I pray, can you read anything you see?
Aye, if I know the letters and the language.
You say honestly, rest you merry.
Stay, fellow. I can read. Signor Martino and his wife and daughters.
Uh-huh.
The lady widow of Atrubio,
uh-huh.
Signor Placentio and his lovely nieces.
Ah.
Mercutio, my fair niece... Rosaline, Signor Valencio and his cousin Tybalt, Lucio and the lively Helena, fair assembly, whither should they come?
Up.
Whither, to supper?
To our house.
To whose house?
My master's.
Indeed, I should have asked you that before.
Now I'll tell you without asking. My master is the great rich Capulet, and if you be not at the house of Montagues, I pray, come and crush a cup of wine. Rest you merry!
At this same ancient feast of Capulet sups the fair Rosaline, whom thou so loves, with all the admired beauties of Verona. Go thither, and with unattainted eye compare her face with some that I shall show, and I will make thee think thy swan a crow.
One fairer than my love, the all-seeing sun, ne'er saw her match since first the world begun.
Tut! You saw her fair, none else being by, herself poised with herself in either eye? But in that crystal scale, let there be weighed your lady's love gainst some other maid that I will show you shining at this feast. And she shall scant show well, that now seems best.
I'll go along, no such sight to be shown, but to rejoice in splendor of mine own.
My daughter, call her forth to me.
Now, by my maidenhead, a 12-year-old, I bade her come. What name? What lady bird? God forbid, where's this girl? What, Juliet?
How now? Who calls?
Your mother.
Madam, I am here. What is your will?
This is the matter. Nurse, give leave a while. We must talk in secret. Nurse? Come back again. I have remembered me. Thou hear our counsel. Thou knowest my daughter's of a pretty age.
Faith, I can tell her age unto an hour.
She's not 14.
I'll lay 14 of my teeth, and yet to my king be it spoken, I have but 4. She's not 14. How long is it now to Lammas tide?
Fortnight and odd days.
Even or odd. Of all days in the year, come Lammas Eve at night, shall she be 14. Susan and she, God rest all Christian souls, were of an age. Well, Susan is with God. She was too good for me. But as I said, on Lammas Eve at night, shall she be 14. That shall she. Mary, I remember it well. 'Tis since the earthquake now 11 years and she was weaned. I never shall forget it of all the days of the year upon that day. For I had then laid wormwood to my dug sitting in the sun under the dove house wall. My lord knew her then at Mantua. Nay, I do bear a brain. But as I said, when it did taste the wormwood on the nipple of my dug and felt it bitter, pretty fool, to see it titchy and fall out with the dug. Shake, quote the dove house. 'Twas no need I drought a bit me trudge. And since that time it is 11 years, for then she could stand high alone. Nay, by the rood, she could have run and waddled all about for him the day before she broke her brow. And then my husband, God be with his soul, it was a merry man, took up the child. Nay, quoth he, dost thou fall upon thy face? Thou wilt fall backward when thou hast more wit, wilt thou not, Jewel? And by my holy dame, the pretty wretch left crying and said, aye. Oh, to see now how a gesture come about. Oh, I warrant I should live a thousand years. I never should forgive. Wilt thou not, Jewel, quoth he? And pretty fool instincted and said, aye.
Enough of this. I pray thee, hold thy peace.
Yes, madam. Yet I cannot choose but laugh. To think it should leave crying and say aye. And yet I warrant it had upon its brow a bump as big as a young cockerel stone. A perilous knock and a cry bitterly. Yea, quoth my husband, falls upon thy face. Thou wilt fall backward when thou comest to age. Wilt thou not, June? It stinted and said aye.
And stint thou too, I pray thee, nurse, say aye.
Peace I have done. God mark thee to his grace. Thou was the prettiest babe that e'er I nursed. And I might live to see thee married once I have my wish.
Mary, that Mary's the very theme I came to talk of. Tell me, daughter Juliet, how stands your dispositions to be married?
It is an honor that I dream not of.
Honor! Were not I thine only nurse, I would say thou hadst sucked wisdom from thy teat.
Well, think of marriage now. Younger than you, here in Verona, ladies of esteem are made already mothers. Oh, by my count, I was your mother much upon these years that you are now a maid. Thus then, in brief, the valiant Paris seeks you for his love.
A man, young lady, lady, such a man as all the world. Why, he's a man of wax.
Verona's summer hath not such a flower.
Nay, he's a flower, in faith, a very flower.
What say you? Can you love the gentleman? This night you shall behold him at our feast. Read o'er the volume of young Paris' face and find delight writ there with beauty's pen. Examine every married lineament and see how one another lends content and what obscured in this fair volume lies. Find written in the margin of his eyes this precious book of love, this unbound lover. To beautify him only lacks a cover. So shall you share all he doth possess by having him making yourself no less.
No less? Nay, bigger. Women grow by men.
What say you? Can you love the gentleman?
I'll look to like, if looking liking move, but no more deep will I endart mine eye than your consent gives strength to make it fly.
Madam, the guests are come, supper served up, you called, my young lady asked for, the nurse cursed in the pantry, and everything in extremity. I must hence to wait, I beseech you, follow straight.
We follow thee. Juliet, the county stay.
Go!
Happy
nights, the happy days. What? Shall this speech be spoke for our excuse, or shall we on without apology?
The date is out of such prolixity, but let them measure us by what they will. We'll measure them a measure, and be gone.
Give me a torch. I am not for this ambling. Being but heavy, I will bear the light.
Nay, gentle Romeo, we must have you dance.
Not I, believe me. You have dancing shoes with nimble soles. I have a soul of lead, so stakes me to the ground I cannot move.
You are a lover. Borrow Cupid's wings and soar with them above a common bound.
I am to soar and pierced with his shaft, to soar with his light feathers, and so bound I cannot bound a pitch above dull woe. Under love's heavy burden do I sink.
And to sink in it, should you burden love, too great oppression for a tender thing.
Is love a tender thing? It is too rough, too rude, too boisterous, and it pricks like thorns.
If love be rough with you, be rough with love. Prick love for pricking, and you beat love down. Give me a case to put my visage in. A visor for a visor. What care I what curious eye doth quote deformities? Here are the beetle brows shall blush for me.
Come, knock and enter, and no sooner in, but every man betake him to his legs.
A torch for me. Let
Wantons, light of heart, tickle the senseless rushes with their heels. I'll be a candle holder and look on.
If thou art dumb, we'll draw thee from the mire of, save your reverence, love, wherein thou stickst up to the ears. Come, we burn daylight.
Oh! Nay, that's not so.
I mean, sir, in delay we waste our lights in vain. Light lights by day? Take our good meaning. For our judgment sits five times in that, ere once in our five wits.
And we mean well in going to this mask, or 'tis no wit to go.
Why, may one ask?
I dreamt a dream tonight.
And so did I.
Well, what was yours?
That dreamers often lie.
In bed asleep while they do dream things true.
Oh. Then I see. Queen Mab hath been with you.
Queen Mab? What's she?
She is the fairy's midwife. And she comes in shape no bigger than an agate stone on the forefinger of an alderman, drawn with a team of little atomy over men's noses as they lie asleep. Her chariot is an empty hazelnut, made by the joiner squirrel or old grub, time out of mind at the fairy's coachmakers. Her wagon spokes, made of long spinner's legs, the cover of the wings of grasshoppers, her traces of the smallest spider web, her collars of the moonshine's watery beams, her whip of cricket's bone, the lash of film, her wagoner, a small gray-coated gnat, not half so big as a round little worm, pricked from the lazy finger of a maid. And in this state, she gallops night by night through lovers' brains, and then they dream of love. Or courtiers' knees that dream on curtsies straight, or lawyers' fingers who straight dream on fees, or ladies' lips who straight on kisses dream, which oft the angry Mab with blisters plagues, because their breasts with sweetmeats tainted are. Sometimes she gallops on a courtier's nose, then dreams he of smelling out a suit. Sometime comes she with a tide pig's tail, tickling a parson's nose as he lies asleep, then dreams he of another benefice. Sometime she driveth o'er a soldier's neck, and then dreams he of cutting foreign throats, of breeches, ambuscados, Spanish blades, of helps, five fathoms deep, and then anon drums in his ear, at which he starts and wakes, and being thus frighted, swears a prayer or two, and then sleeps again. This is the very Mab that plates the manes of horses in the night and bakes the elf locks in foul, sluttish hairs which once untangled much misfortune bodes. This is the hag, when maids lie on their backs, that presses them and learns them first to bear, making them women of good carriage. This is she.
Peace, Mercutio. Peace. Thou talkst of nothing.
True. I talk of dreams, which are the children of an idle brain, begot of nothing but vain fantasy, which is as thin of substance as the air, and more inconstant than the wind, who woos even now the frozen bosom of the north, and being angered puffs away from thence, turning his side to the dew-dropping south.
Wind you talk of blows us from ourselves. Supper is done. We shall come too late.
I fear too early. For my mind misgives some consequence yet hanging in the star shall bitterly begin his fearful date with this night's revels and expire the term of a despised life closed in my breast by some vile forfeit of untimely death. But he that hath the steerage of my course, direct my sail.
On, lusty gentlemen!
Strike drum!
Welcome, gentlemen, ladies.
ladies that have their toes unplagued with corns will walk about with you, my mistresses. Which of you all will now deny to dance? She that makes dainty, she, I'll swear, hath corns. Am I come near you now? Welcome, gentlemen. Come, musicians, play. A hall, give room and put it, girls.
What lady's that which doth enrich the hand of yonder knight?
I know not, sir.
Oh, she doth teach the torches to burn bright. It seems she hangs upon the cheek of night as a rich jewel in an Ethiop's ear. Beauty too rich for use, for earth too dear. So shows a snowy dove trooping with crows as yonder lady or her fellow shows. The measure done, I'll watch her place of stand and touching hers make blessed my rude hand. Did my heart love till now, forswear its sight, for I ne'er saw true beauty till this night.
This by his voice should be a Montague.
Fetch me my rapier, boy.
What? Dares the slave come hither, covered with an antic face, to fleer and scorn at our solemnity? Now by the stock and honor of my kin, to strike him dead, I hold it not a sin.
Why, how now, kinsman, wherefore storm you so?
Uncle, this is a Montague, our foe, a villain that is hither come in spite to scorn at our solemnity this night.
Young Romeo, is it?
'Tis he, that villain Romeo.
Content thee, gentle coz, let him alone. That bears him like a portly gentleman, and to say truth, Verona brags of him to be a virtuous and well-governed youth. I would not for the wealth of all this town here in my house do him disparagement. Therefore be patient, take note of him. It is my will, the which if thou respect, show a fair presence and put off these frowns, an ill-beseeming semblance for a fest.
It fits when such a villain is a guest. I'll not endure him.
Shall be endured? What could that boy? I say he shall go to. Am I the master here or you? Go to! You'll not endure it, God. You'll mend my soul. You'll make a mutiny among my guests. You will set cock a hoop. You'll be the man.
Why, uncle, 'tis a shame.
Go to! You are a saucy boy. Is't so indeed? This trick may chance to scathe you, I know. What? Well said, my hearts. You are a princox. Go, be quiet. Or more light, for shame. I'll make you quiet. What? Cheerily, my hearts.
I will withdraw, but this intrusion shall, now seeming sweet, convert to bitterest gall.
If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, the gentle sin is this. My lips, two blushing pilgrims ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss.
Good pilgrim, you do wrong your hand too much, which mannerly devotion shows in this. For saints have hands that pilgrims' hands do touch, and palm to palm is holy palmer's kiss.
Have not saints lips, and holy palmers too?
Aye, pilgrim, lips that they must use in prayer.
Oh, then, dear saint, let lips do what hands do. They pray. Grant thou lest faith turn to despair.
Saints do not move, though grant for prayer's sake.
Then move not, while my prayer's effect I take. Thus, from my lips, by thine, my sin is purged.
Then have my lips the sin that they have took?
Sin from my lips? Oh, trespass sweetly urged. Give me my sin again.
You kiss by the book.
Madam, your mother craves a word with you.
What is her mother?
Mary Batchelor, her mother is a lady of the house, and a good lady, and a wise and virtuous. I nurse her daughter that you talked with all. I tell you, he that can lay hold of her shall have the chinks.
Is she a Capulet? Oh, dear account, my life is my foe's debt.
Away, be gone. The sport is at the best.
Aye, so I fear, the more is my unrest.
Nay, hey, gentlemen, prepare not to be gone. We have a trifling foolish banquet to ward. Is it even so? Why, then, I thank you all. I thank you, honest gentlemen. Good night. What torches here? Come on, then, let's to bed. Ah, sirrah, by my fay, it waxes late. I'll to my rest.
Come hither, nurse. What is yon gentleman?
The son and heir of old Tiberio.
What's he that now is going out of door?
Mary, that I think be young Petruchio.
What's he that follows here that would not dance?
I know not.
Go ask his name. If he be married, my grave is like to be my wedding bed.
His name is Romeo and Montague, the only son of your great enemy.
My only love sprung from my only hate. Too early seen, unknown, and known too late.
What's this? What's this?
A rhyme I learned even now of when I danced with all.
Anon, anon! Come, let's away, the strangers all are gone.
Can I go forward when my heart is here? Turn back, dull earth, and find thy center out.
Romeo! My cousin Romeo! Romeo!
He is wise, and on my life, hath stolen him home to bed.
He ran this way and left this orchard wall. Call, good Mercutio.
Nay, I'll conjure too.
Romeo, you was
madman!
Passion? Lover? Appear thou in the likeness of a sigh. Speak but one rhyme and I am satisfied. Cry but, ay me. Pronounce but love and dove, speak to my gossip Venus one fair word.
He heareth not, he moveth not, he stirreth not. The ape is dead, and I must conjure him. I conjure thee
by Rosaline's bright eyes, by her high forehead and her scarlet lip, by her fine foot, straight leg and quivering thigh, and the domains that there adjacent lie, that in thy likeness thou appear to us.
And if he hear thee, thou wilt anger him.
This cannot anger him. It would anger him to raise a spirit in his mistress' circle of some strange nature, letting it there stand till she had laid it and conjured it down. That was some spite. My invocation is fair and honest. In his mistress' name, I conjure only but to raise up him.
Come. He hath hid himself among these trees to be consorted with the humorous night. Blind is his love, and best befits the dark.
If love be blind, love cannot hit the mark. Now, will he sit under a medlar tree and wish his mistress with that kind of fruit as maids call medlars when they laugh alone? Oh, Romeo, that she were. Oh, that she were
an open arse. And thou a pauper in pair. Romeo, good night. I'll to my truckle bed. This field bed is too cold for me to sleep. Come, shall we go?
Go then, for 'tis in vain to seek him here that means not to be found.
He jests at scars that never felt a wound, but soft. What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun,
and kill the envious moon who is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. It is my lady. Oh, it is my love. Oh, that she knew she were. She speaks, yet she says nothing. What of that? Her eye discourses. I will answer it. No, I am too bold. It is not to me she speaks. Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven, having some business, do entreat her eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return. What if her eyes were there, they in her head? The brightness of her cheek would shame those stars as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes in heaven would through the airy region stream so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek.
I me.
She speaks. Oh, speak again, bright angel, for thou art as glorious to this night being o'er my head as is a winged messenger of heaven unto the white upturned wondering eyes of mortals that fall back to gaze upon him as he bestrides the lazy puffing clouds and sails upon the bosom of the air.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Deny thy father and refuse thy name. Or, if thou wilt not, be but sworn my love, and I'll no longer be a Capulet.
Shall I hear more, or shall I speak at this?
'Tis but thy name that is my enemy. Thou art thyself, though not a Montague. What's Montague? It is nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. Oh, be some other name. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other word, would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth, I never will be Romeo.
What man art thou that thus bescreamed in night, so stumblest on my counsel?
By a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I it written, I would tear the word.
My ears have not yet drunk 100 words of thy tongue's uttering, yet I know the sound. Art thou not Romeo? And a Montague?
Neither, fair maid, if either thee dislike.
How camest thou hither? Tell me, and wherefore? The orchard walls are high and hard to climb, and the place death, considering who thou art, if any of my kinsmen find thee here.
With love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls, for stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do that dares love attempt? Therefore thy kinsmen are no stop to me.
If they do see thee, they will murder thee.
Alack, there lies more peril in thine eye than 20 of their swords. Look thou but sweet, and I am proof against their enmity.
I would not for the world they saw thee here.
I have knight's cloak to hide me from their eyes. And but thou love me, let them find me here.
By whose direction found'st thou out this place?
By love, that first did prompt me to inquire. He lent me counsel, and I lent him eyes. I am no pilot. Yet wert thou, as far as that vast shore, washed with the farthest sea, I should adventure for such merchandise.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek for that which thou hast heard me speak tonight. Fain would I dwell on form, fain deny what I have spoke. But farewell, compliment. Dost thou love me? I know thou wilt say aye, and I will take thy word. Yet if thou swearest, thou mayest prove false. At lovers' perjuries, they say, Jove laughs. O, gentle Romeo, if thou dost love, pronounce it faithfully. Or if thou think'st I am too quickly won, I'll frown and be perverse. and say thee nay. So thou wilt woo. Oh, but else not for the world. In truth, fair Montague, I am too fond. And therefore thou mayst think my havior light. But trust me, gentlemen, I'll prove more true than those that have more cunning to be strange. I should have been more strange, I must confess, but that thou overheardst ere I was ware my true love, passion. Therefore pardon me, and do not impute this yielding to light love, which the dark night hath so discovered.
Lady, by yonder blessed moon I vow that tips with silver all these fruit tree
pots. Oh, swear not by the moon, the inconstant moon that monthly changes in her circled orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable.
What shall I swear by?
Do not swear at all. Or, if thou wilt, swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe thee.
If my heart's dear love...
Well, do not swear. Although I joy in thee, I have no joy of this contract tonight. It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden, too like the lightning, which doth cease to be ere one can say it lightens. Sweet, good night. This bud of love by summer's ripening breath may prove a beauteous flower when next we meet. Good night, good night. As sweet repose and rest come to thy heart as that within my breast.
Oh, wilt thou leave me so unsatisfied?
What satisfaction canst thou have tonight?
The exchange of thy love's faithful vow for mine.
I gave thee mine before thou didst request it. And yet I would it were to give again.
Wouldst thou withdraw it? For what purpose, love?
But to be frank and give it thee again. Yet I wish but for the thing I have. My bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
Where are you?
Oh, I hear some noise within. Dear love, adieu.
Juliet!
Anon, good nurse! Sweet Montague, be true. Stay but a little. I will come again.
Oh, blessed, blessed night. I am afraid, being in night, all this is but a dream. Too flattering, sweet to be substantial.
Three words, dear Romeo, and good night indeed. If that thy bent of love be honorable, thy purpose marriage, send me word tomorrow by one that I'll procure to come to thee, where and what time thou wilt perform the rite. And all my fortunes at thy foot I'll lay, and follow thee, my lord, throughout the world.
Madam!
I come anon. But if thou meanest not well, I do beseech thee.
Madam!
By and by I come, to cease thy strife and leave me to my grief. Tomorrow will I send.
So thrive my soul.
A thousand times, good night.
A thousand times the worse to want thy light. Love goes toward love, as schoolboys from their books. But love from love, toward school with heavy looks.
Psst. Romeo, hist. Oh, for a falconer's voice to lure this tassel gentle back again. Bondage is hoarse and may not speak aloud. Else would I tear the cave where Echo lies and make her airy tongue more hoarse than mine with repetition of my Romeo's name.
It is my soul that calls upon my name. How silver sweet sound lovers' tongues by night like softest music to attending ears.
Romeo?
My love.
Oh, what o'clock tomorrow shall I send to thee?
By the hour of nine.
I will not fail. 'Tis 20 years till then. I have forgot why I did call thee back.
Well, let me stand here till thou remember it.
I shall forget to have thee still stand there, remembering how I love thy company.
And I'll still stay to have thee still forget. Forgetting any other home but this.
'Tis almost morning. I would have thee gone, and yet no farther than a wanton's bird that lets it hop a little from his hand like a poor prisoner in his twisted gyves, and with a silken thread plucks it back again, so loving jealous of his liberty.
I would I were thy bird.
Sweet, so would I. Yet I should kill thee with much cherishing. Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
Sleep dwell upon thine eyes, peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep and peace, so sweet to rest. The gray-eyed morn smiles upon the frowning night, checkering the eastern clouds with streaks of light. Hence will I to my ghostly father's close cell, his help to crave and my dear hap to tell.
Just heard Romeo and Juliet, directed by Miles Potter, with original music composed by Mark Disarmo. In the cast, you heard Graham Abbey as Romeo and Claire Julian as Juliet, with Wayne Best as Mercutio, Lally Cadeau as the nurse, Tim Campbell as Abram and the watchman, Sarah Dodd as Lady Montague, John Dolan as Montague and the musician, Julie Donovan as Lady Capulet, Keith DeNichol as Friar Lawrence, Aaron Franks as Gregory and the Apothecary, Patrick Gallaghan as Paris, David Kirby as Friar John, Raymond O'Neill as the Prince, Caleb Marshall as Benvolio, Miles Potter as Peter, Nicholas Van Burick as Tybalt, Scott Wentworth as Capulet, and Jeffrey Wetch as Samson and Balthasar. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott and Mark Disarmo, with special thanks to David Campbell of the Stratford Festival. The associate producers were Rosie Fernandez and Colleen Woods. Romeo and Juliet was produced by Barbara Worthy. Many of the dramas you hear on our show are available on CD. For more details, you can go to our website, www.cbc.ca/radiodrama, and follow the link marked Merchandise. Or you can phone 416-205-5966 or email us at radiodramaoncd@toronto.cbc.ca. If you would like to send us a letter, please address it to Sunday Showcase, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. And send emails to sunshowcase@cbc.ca. That's it for tonight. Just a reminder that this program will be aired again tomorrow on Monday Night Playhouse at 9.05 p.m. on CBC Radio 2. Join us again next week when we present part 2 of Romeo and Juliet from the 9th Annual Stratford Festival Series. And here now is a clip from next week's show.
Romeo, the love I bear thee can afford no better term than this. Thou art a villain.
Tybalt, the reason that I have to love thee doth much excuse the apprehended rage to such a greeting. Villain am I none. Therefore, farewell. I see thou knowest me not.
Boy! This shall not excuse the injuries thou hast done me. Therefore, turn and draw.
I do protest I never injured thee, but love thee more than thou canst devise till thou shalt know the reason of my love. And so, good Capulet, which name I tender as dearly as mine own, be satisfied.
Oh, calm, dishonorable, vile submission. Alistair Cutter carries it away. Tybalt! You rat catcher! Will you walk?
What wouldst thou have with me?
Good King of Cats, nothing. One of your 9 lives that I mean to make bold withal, and as you shall use me hereafter, dry beat the rest of the 8. Will you pluck your sword out of this pilcher by the ears? Make haste, lest mine be above your ears ere it be out.
I am for you.
General Mercutio, put thy rapier up. Come, sir. Your pathia.
Hey!
Walk, and hold your feet down our weapons. Gentlemen, for shame, for fear, the prince expects to forbid this banding of your own priests. Hold!
Wait! Away!
That's from episode 2 of Romeo and Juliet, airing on Sunday Showcase next week. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo for Sunday Showcase. Good night.